Making her way through the fog this morning is ISD 166 Superintendent Beth Schwartz. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
How was it?
The board meeting was good.
How was the fog?
The fog, not so good.
Okay. Well, there's a number of things that go on, and you wrote me a note. You want to talk about achievement gap?
Yeah, I really do. This week, I actually have the articles or issues in education article in the paper, and there'll be a write-up in there about the achievement gap as well. There's a lot of things that the school district can fix by going to other agencies. You know, we have some technology issues. We go to folks to help us with the wiring. But right now, we have achievement gaps in several subgroups with our American Indian population versus non-American Indian students, with boys achieving at a lower level than girls, with special education students achieving lower than regular education students, and with students who receive meal benefits or on free and reduced mm-hmm. lunch versus those students who do not qualify for meal benefits or free or reduced lunch. This is one of those things the school district cannot fix itself. These are issues that require the entire community to get behind and starts, if we really truly want to address it and fix it, we're looking at starting prenatally, I mean, even before the child is born, and making sure women have adequate, all women have adequate prenatal care, that they have a good education as to what things they should be doing while they're pregnant to ensure they have a healthy baby. And then with early childhood programming, again, beginning at birth and going all the way through pre-kindergarten. We know that when we are getting kindergartners at ISD 166, those that have had really solid pre-kindergarten experiences are performing above students who don't. So much is happening before they even get to us. And it really is going to take a community effort if we are serious about closing these achievement gaps. You may also hear about the opportunity gap. And that is a term that's used to talk about the inequities that children have in their lives that actually perpetuate the achievement gap.
Over which the school, again, doesn't have much control.
Right. We don't have much control. I mean, when students are with us, we can help them feel safe. We can provide them the education. We can provide them food at school. But even though they're with us 5 days a week, that's only during the school year. They have weekends. They have vacations. They have summers. And if they are behind in the opportunity gap and don't have adequate food, shelter, families who love them and care for them, all of those things. And actually, most kids have an opportunity gap somewhere in their life. The problem is you get several of those pulled together, and that's really where you start to impact achievement.
This sounds to me like not something the traditional school is set up to do.
It really isn't. And again, just the need for everybody to really pull together. And there's something that every single citizen can do, whether it's making more of an effort to, watch out for young children and see that, if you have concerns about their safety, that you're talking to people about that. If you see them down on the shore, pick up some rocks, throw rocks with them and talk about things, because you never know if that's the child that needs an adult in their life that cares for them. Mm-hmm. And a child who only has one or two adults that care for them, it's nice to have a third or a fourth or a fifth adult that cares for them in their life.
Does the school board plan to put together some kind of a proposal or some kind of a plan to help facilitate bringing community together to talk about this kind of thing? I mean, what can they really do? I mean, you're not getting money to do this, so how do you address these issues or make them more well known throughout the community?
Well, one of the things that I will be doing is getting out more to different agencies and talking about it. The school board itself is, looking, they're very, very dedicated to early childhood education. They've already done a lot of good things, such as put in those small K-2 classes, because that's still considered early childhood up to about grade three. And so they've already made a number of steps that they can do. The issue, of course, as you said, is resources. And I want to give a shout out to the Early Childhood Coalition, several volunteers that have been working together for quite some time now, who are really looking at the prenatal and early childhood issues. And one thing they are really hoping for is that somehow this community can pull together and build a standalone early childhood center where they can really reach out to families. You know, sometimes the school can be a daunting place for parents who've never, didn't have a good high school experience. And, you know, to have a place where they can go and feel comfortable and talk about things, and a good, healthy place for their children to be. So that is something that I'm really hoping will come to fruition over the next couple of years. So if there's any deep pockets out there, we would love to see a donation for an early childhood center, but we'll also be working the traditional angles. I think IRRRB might be interested in something like this, and we may even go to legislature for bonding on the bonding year. But it's something that we really need in the county.
Well, it does sound daunting because, as you and I have mentioned before, and I've talked with Peter James in Great Expectations about this too, it seems like school districts are being more and more asked to take over as parents almost.
Right. But it is more than that. I don't want to give the impression that every child who has an achievement gap has parents that don't care for them. I would say quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Many parents care very, very deeply. But when you're working two or three jobs, that is a huge issue, and it's a big issue in our county.
Oh, it is.
You know?
Yes.
So that's no fault of parents. I truly believe that the parents in our community, you know, truly care and love their children. But and we all know what happened with propane last year, mm-hmm. you know, skyrocketing, and how many kids were going home to a cold house last year. How do you sleep? How do you study if your house is cold?
Do you have any idea of how this school district or even county compares with some other school districts? Is this a rural community problem, or does it cut pretty much across demographics?
Oh, it's across every single school district. And I think that's why I've gotten so fired up about it this year, is because I'm really tired about hearing about it. And I think the districts are trying their darndest to close these achievement gaps. But again, when we start seeing students at age six, and if we haven't seen them before that, we can do a lot between K and three. But by fifth, sixth grade, if we really haven't made major movement towards closing an achievement gap, a student that starts seventh, eighth grade, if they have a large achievement gap in math or reading, it is very, very difficult to close that. And, you know, it's hard on teachers because they want to see those gaps closed. But sometimes they feel like, you know, what can we do? You know, I've got an eighth grader here who's not reading, or a ninth grader who's really struggling in math. It's really hard to address those issues at that level. We need to be doing this before school and in those early school years. And again, it has to be a community-wide effort. This is not something the school will be able to successfully do on their own.
Well, I think you've made that pretty clear. I hope the community is listening.
Thank you, Jay.
Beth Schwartz is superintendent of ISD 166 with a community-wide challenge. Thanks.